It's a kavod to be here in the only sukkah, the wonderful achdus and togetherness that this community brings. It's something so fitting for the yontif to have a mesibah that brings everyone together for divrei Torah, for ruchnius, and the mitzvah Hashem for many, many more years. I would like to speak about something that the Goyen mentions, or is mentioned in the name of the Gra. It somehow has been traditional here that the Mesibah comes out at the yard side of the Goyen. I'm not sure if that's purposely planned that way, but that's how it's been the last few years, and tonight is no exception. Tonight is the yard side of the Goyen, Yutas Tishrei, and I'd like to speak about a cryptic remark that he makes, which deals with sukkahs. But before that, let's start with Chazal. There's a medrash that says by Avraham Avinu that there's a remez that Avraham Avinu kept the mitzvah of sukkahs, and that is from the fact that Avraham Avinu, it says Vishonu Tachas Ha'etz, the Vishonu Tachas Ha'etz, the invitation to the Malachim to be under the tree is a remez for sukkah, despite the fact that an actual eitz would be possible for schach, but Chazal saw it a remez for sukkah. Now, this is something which is not clear why we would want to find a remez for Avraham in sukkah. Most commonly, sukkah is thought as being as something being related to Yaakov. It says Lumikneo was a sukkos, and Yaakov Avinu's sukkos that he made for Zmikne is the first time we actually have the word sukkah. But be it as it may, Chazal have placed Avraham Avinu's Vishon Tach Sa'etz as being some sort of remez for sukkah. A second place where we find a remez for Avraham Avinu and a sukkah is in Arizal, and this is a complex gematria. The Arizal says that the gematria of sukkah of Avraham is the gematria of sukkah. Now, it doesn't take much to figure it out that it doesn't match. The Arizal's gematria works like this: you take the full letters, in other words, sukkis samach, vav and kuf, kaf and hey. If you spell samach, you can spell it samach mem chaf, kaf you spell kaf and a pay, and so on. And if you spell it out longhand, and then you add the four letters that the word sukkah is comprised of, the so it's four to that, and then you add the one, which is the entire word as a whole, lo and behold, the gematria is Avraham. Try it out, it's 248. Now, it's interesting gematria, but, why go through such a tortured procedure to get to the gematria of Avraham? Unless there's something really unique about Avraham and sukkah. And I would like to add something more. Not only is there something unique about a connection of Avraham and sukkah, but obviously the gematria, since the gematria is the Torah's, the Torah placing some hint in a place where we need to find a remez for something, a hint for something, the way in which it's alluded to, whether it's sometimes beginning letters, sometimes end letters, it's sometimes by reversing letters, you get, that itself teaches you something about the nature of the connection. So here we have a remarkably, remarkably convoluted gematria. You have every letter broken down into its finest pieces, the samach, samach mem, kaf, and so on. Add up all that, then add up the letters, the amount of letters, and then the whole world as a whole, and then we get to Avram. Valodavu, it's something that really arouses some curiosity as to what does such a complex gematria tell us. Finally, the Vilna Goyen's point that he said. Now, this vart from the Goyen, I can only say it's purported to be from the Goyen. It's written in a sefer, as a sefer called Kol Dodi, written by somebody of Banishevitz, who was a literature rav, and he has a section there with Vertlach that I said over in the name of the Goyen. I've seen his sefer quoted in different places. I have no way of attesting to the exact reliability of it or not. So if it's reliable, then we're saying over the Goyen's Torah. If not, it should stand on its own. The story goes as follows: that somebody came in to the Goyen, the sukkah maybe, and it mentioned the Chazal about, you know, Bishon Tachas Eitz, and he asked the Goyen what if there's another, if there's any specific remez in the Torah that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Mitzvah Sukkah. I guess Bishon Tachas Eitz, I'm not sure why it was enough for the person, but he asked the Goyen. And the Goyen said, yes, Vashem Berech as Avram Bakol. That was the end of the Goyen's statement. Goyen wasn't given to lengthy conversations, and people obviously didn't know what to make of it. And one of his Talmidim explained that the psukim that deal with sukkahs in the Torah, the parasha in the Torah, the head sections of those psukim are Besukos Teishu Shivas Yamim, so that's the base of Bakol, is Besukos Teishu Shivas Yamim. Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael is the next half a pasuk, and that is the Kaf of Bakol. And L'man Yedudor HaSeichem is the next pasuk, and that's the Lamed. So the base and the Kaf and the Lamed are Meramez to Besukos Teishvu, Kol HaEzrach BiYisrael, and finally L'man Yedudor HaSeichem. That explained at least what the words of the Goyen were. It doesn't offer us, however, any real understanding of, well, great. I mean, it's neat. It's like really neat to have these pshatim, you know, these gematrias and Rashi, you know, and the Rashi Tevis and so on. Does it have any meaning other than that? Is it just kind of, you know, a very, very sharp eye and brilliant eye for finding these things? Is there any content to it? So let's start with a famous Rashi and a Chazal, actually. And once we understand that, I think we're going to have a deeper appreciation of the mitzvah of Sukkah, the meaning of mitzvah Sukkah, and why is it so important that Avram be the one that is connected with Sukkah. It says by Avram, Vayim Hashem Avram lecha ma'atzu malatcho me'savicha la'atzu ha'reka. It says, Ve'esch lo ge'godl v'avarecha v'agad l'shmecha v'yei bracha. So Rashi says, it's Chazal, Ve'esch lo ge'godl zu ma'shoimrim elokei Avram, v'avarecha z'elokei Yitzchak, v'agad l'shmecha z'elokei Yaakov, yochol yuchaysmin b'kulon. I would think that you were to conclude the bracha of Avos with all of them. We'd say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mogen Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, or Mogen Avos, and that would sort of be include everybody. Talmud Lomer Vayei Bracha Becho Chosmin. That's why we say Baruch Ata Hashem. We don't finish with the Avos Mogen Avos. We say Baruch Ata Hashem Mogen Avram. That's what we finish with. So Avram is it. Even though each one of them we have like Avram, Kei Tzachar Yaakov spelled out, but the end is Magen Avram. It's something that really, really is not clear. What was Avram bothered by? I mean, is it jealousy? Very, very hard to believe that the person Hakadosh Baruch Hu was chosen the first bracha with his jealousy. It's incredible. If that would be a reason not to be chosen with Shem Avram. More so, Chazal said, is people are not jealous of the children's accomplishment. So even if we were talking about regular people, it would be mugging. There would be no jealousy of having the son also listed. What was the issue here? So, I think the issue goes down to the heart of what it takes for a group to be one group. Let's take an example. Let's say you have a whole group of people living in a community, and there is either someone's planning to make a highway, or someone's planning not to make a highway there, and it will affect people very adversely. People get together, and people become and they work very much together. They cooperate with each other in order to get what they want or need, or avoid what would be harmful to their interests, and so on. That's a level of cooperation, of togetherness, but it's very limited to a certain phase and section of time. These people have nothing with each other. They now have a common interest, and when that interest is over, it's gone with. Unfortunately, this is a message we get a lot of times about Jewish unity, and it goes like this. Well, we have so many enemies threatening Jewish people, it's terrible. If we're not going to act cohesively, we're all going to sink. It might be a correct statement, and definitely there's nothing wrong with acting together for a common interest, and certainly when it's something as important as issues like that, there's no reason to knock that, except that has nothing to do with Jewish unity inherently. Because in a certain sense, it's actually detracting from it. Basically, you're making a statement that really we don't have much in common with anybody else, except for some reason you have crazy people. And if you have crazy people, you need to band together and fight anti-Semitism. So a brother is a brother of mine, always and forever. Not because we have common interests. We may not have common interests. We have a common root. I once had a very, very, very powerful experience, and I learned something from a pastor, actually. I was on a trip. I was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a group, a Christian sect, similar to Amish people, that were traveling with me as a group. They're called Bruderhof, which means a courtyard of brotherhood. And this is a sort of Amish-like group that lives. They originated in Germany. They were persecuted by the Nazis and ran away. They ended up somewhere in New York State, and they live in large communities. They live in communities of a few hundred families, and they have a whole bunch of communities all over in New York State. I don't know exactly how many they number, but a few communities, a few hundred families each. The son of the pastor was sitting next to me, and you know, we talked a bit, and I asked him. He explained to me a little about the movement, about some of their ideals and what they do and their issues, and I asked him what brings them to Israel. And he told me that the kibbutz movement, this must have been the very late 90s, I would just peg it at 99 kind of, the kibbutz movement was disintegrating, and they were looking the world over for movements that were kibbutz-like, of shared income and community undertaking, and that were succeeding, and asked them for the secret of how to succeed. And he said, so his father met with the heads of the kibbutzim, and during a conversation he asked them, what exactly are your beliefs? What's your belief system? And they said, we don't believe in anything. And he was like incredulous, and he said, not even God? And they said, no. And he told them, he said, if there is no one father, how are we brothers? In other words, you're basing a movement on the idea that of ultimate fraternity. But if there is no common father that gave birth to us, then we're not brothers. And I told him I'm highly embarrassed that my brother has to hear it from a pastor. It's a truth that I should have been able to convey to him. But that point is extremely, extremely insightful. You can have cooperation, which is great. So if it's for our mutual benefit to plow the field together, that's normal. That's what we would call a it's a commonly advantageous enterprise. And just you have a partnership in business, you have investors, you have management, so on and so forth. When everybody's interest is aligned, you do it. That's great. It's a win-win-win-win situation. But to be bound up with someone else where I can make a lot more than him, because he's not terribly talented and I'm phenomenal, why would I do it unless I perceive myself to be bound up with him no matter what? So in order for Klal Yisrael to be one, it's not enough that they get together. It means there's really one common point that everyone references to. Now, Avraham Avinu's common point wasn't absolute clones. Avraham gave birth to a Yitzchak who was different than him and brought out another facet of Ruchnius. Yitzchak gave birth to Yaakov who brought out a different facet of Ruchnius. And they had 12 Shvatim and each one was a different facet of Ruchnius. But there's a Haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that despite the fact that all of these are different facets of Ruchnius, they have the common shorish. Each and every single person in Klal Yisrael is a Ben Avraham. And Yitzchak is also Ben Avraham. Yitzchak is someone that is another way of expressing Avraham. But the deep nekuda that lurks inside Yitzchak is Avraham. So Avraham had a particular midah, a midah of chesed, and in that sense he's an individual, but he has something called avus, which is a point of reference to every single person that would come from him, no matter how diverse the various elements of Klal Yisrael are. And they're supposed to be diverse, and they're supposed to sometimes not be able to come to any commonality except Elokei Avraham. Not only are the members of Klal Yisrael, but any person from the world that chooses to join Klal Yisrael is a Ben Avraham. He finds the Nekudah of Avraham somehow inside, and that links him with Klal Yisrael. He's not a member of any Shevet, but he's a Ben Avraham. And even the Masa Olam are to some degree Av Haman Goyim, there's some Shaykhs to Elokei Avraham. So Avraham is the Nekudah in Klal Yisrael, is not only a starting point in a sequential way, he is the starting point that's the core of Klal Yisrael forever. He's the Shorosh of Klal Yisrael, and this is Klal Yisrael. So, we have here a God of Avraham who is the core of Klal Yisrael, the Shorosh. And that's what Rashi means. Yochol Yechosim Bekulam. If there would be a chasima with all of them, and it would be Mogen, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, or Mogen Ovels, or anything of that nature, then we would have three gods. We would have three segments of Klal Yisrael. We share a common heritage, but nothing more than that, nothing more specific than that. The bracha, Veheye bracha, means from all of the tremendous riot of diversity in Klal Yisrael, comes from one nekuda and goes back to one nekuda, and that is the shoresh and the makor of Klal Yisrael's oneness, that we came from one point and we're all different expressions of that same oneness. That is what Klal Yisrael is. Let's go back to the inyan of the goyan. In the Sfarim HaKadoshim, we have a measuring rod, or I would say, we measure coordinates of things. Let's put it this way: we measure using three axes to determine separate elements. We have place. There are different mekomos. There's asara kedushos, depending on which place it is. There's a makom metunuf, and so on. Makom place is obviously a way to divide things. Some things occupy Eretz Yisrael, some things Eivar HaYarden, some things Yerushalayim, and so on. We have zman, we have different times, and different times are distinct. You have days like Yom Kippur, you have days like Purim, you have days like Tisha B'Av, Shabbos, and so on. Those are chilukei zman. This is time divided into different segments and so on. And finally, we have something called nefesh, which means people are unique. While each and every person is a unique neshama, and therefore Reuven, it makes Reuven, Shimon, and so on. Animals are far more alike. All cows are much more similar, and the variation is minor. They're not distinct different. They're, you know, they're sort of more or less of the same. Human neshamas and nefesh are seen to be different points, and therefore the Sfarim speak about distinctions on the plane of makom, distinctions on the plane of zman, and distinctions on the plane of nefesh. Let's take a look at the mitzvahs. The mitzvah of sukkah is a unique mitzvah that it includes the entire gamut of human activities. The mitzvah of sukkah, most mitzvahs, almost every mitzvah applies to a specific organ in the body. We put tefillah on our hands. We do chalitza with the foot. We say tefillahs with our mouths. We study with our brains, and so on. The Ramach Ivarim are the 248 limbs. Each one corresponds to a different mitzvah's essay, and that gives each limb its spiritual sustenance, so to speak, what it is. The sukkah includes the entirety of a person, not only physically, because a sukkah needs to be the size to fit the entire person, but a sukkah actually is the entire compass of human activity. As the as Shlomo brings down, a person eats in a sukkah, sleeps in a sukkah, talks in a sukkah, walks in a sukkah. The person does all of his activities within a sukkah. So a sukkah is the mitzvah that encompasses and sort of brings all the mitzvahs together. It's, if one can make it parallel to that nekud of achdus. The three psukim that the Goyen mentioned are psukim that touch on each one of these three different planes of identity. You have Besukos Teishvu Shivas Yamim. It means it includes all the different places. In other words, where a person dwells, the word yeshiva means to sit. Halachically, each mitach mekomchem by Shabbos, it means the place, your dwelling place, where you dwell is your place. Basukas teishvu means this has become your makom. All of your activities, your entire range of life, finds its place within the sukkah. The eating part of the day, the sleeping part of the day, the walking part of the day, the talking part of the day, all of it finds its makom within the sukkah. Kol Ezrasol means everybody in Kol Yisrael together should be able to be in one sukkah, and that's where you have the different nefesh of Kol Yisrael, all the different nefashos together in one sukkah, and that so to speak is the achdus of all the different people. Mayeda Doroseichem means Klal Yisrael is measured in four dimensions, and as long as our lifespan is, that's only one notch in the real lifetime Klal Yisrael. The real lifetime Klal Yisrael is measured through generations. The span of time of Klal Yisrael is Doros. And And Mayedu Doros Seicha means all the Doros together, all different segments of Zman come together. So in the word Bakol, Vashem Berech HaSavrom Bakol, in that Bakol we have the hint, we have the remez that the Bakol of Klal Yisrael is included in Sukkah. Remarkable. It's a remez within a remez. In other words, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram the bracha of Bakol, which means that unifying factor of being able to tamloim bechochoismin, and and that hints to Sukkah, which in a certain way includes the entire Bakol of Klal Yisrael. I would like to also understand that as that being one of the elements of the Arizal's gematria. Well, yes, it's such a complex, convoluted gematria. Why? I mean, why search for that in such a complex way? The answer is the gematria is a perfect reflection of what it's trying to allude to. The word Sukkah spelled out to its very detail, not only the letters, but the letters of the letters, the Samach Mem Chaf of the Samach, the Kaf Pei of the Kaf, and so on. In other words, take all the details, add them together, then add together the letters, which are subsections, then add the one, which is the word that includes them all. When you add that one, that's when Sukkah becomes Avram. In other words, the mitzvah of Sukkah has in itself the parallel power aspect of Avram Avinu, in that it was able to take all the protein, all the details, and bring them together. And that is, so the gematria is not only telling me the just one connect the other, but it's actually giving me the structure for the real achdus. In terms of a mesiba like we're having tonight here in a community that does so many wonderful ruchnistic activities, I still look back, so I see Mr. Friedman sitting here, B.S. Friedman. I look forward fondly every summer to the wonderful Yachikala that we do here, which brings together the Torah from all parts of the community, all different shades, and a tremendous display of Talmud Torah and Achdus, which is really incredible. And it's I think very, very unique to the community here, the diversity of it, and yet the togetherness brought together in one sukkah. I think this is a very, very appropriate place for this display of unity, because what it tells us is that the unity of Klal Yisrael is not because of some sort of contemporary need or because in some segment of time or place we need to be together. It tells us we're together because when you peel away every single layer of diversity, there's a common core. It's Sukkah bringing everybody together in the Sukkah, and bringing all facets of a person's personal life together is the right type of mitzvah to bring together the entire community. Each and every person has their own mitzvahs that they bring to the table, so to speak, that this is where they really contribute to the community, each in their own way. And may we be zocha to that sukkah, which Kol Ezach B'Yisrael, that all the nefashos Klal Yisrael, those here, those on here, will come together, and the first bracha given, the bracha given to our first father, by Hashem B'Yisrael Bakol, that Bakol that has kept Klal Yisrael together on all doors, will become the bracha to bring us all together Bakol. Modern Simcha.